Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is part 156 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And this is program 258. If you'd like a copy of it, just mention whether you want a CD or a tape, copy of it, a audio tape. And we'll be glad to send it to you, postage free. Postage and handling, everything is free on it. We have some letters, and we have a revamped piece of literature that I wrote several years ago. It's a vision that the Lord gave me about the times that we're living in today. Right now, let's go up to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, we thank and praise your wonderful holy name because we know your word. And your word we must have faith in. Now, above all, the Bible tells us to lift up the shield of faith, because this is our victory, it's our faith. And that means faith, or the shield, is the same thing as prayer. And so if we lift up the shield of faith, what we're doing is actually lifting up the shield of faith when we're praying to you. Because it is you that quenches all the fiery darts, therefore you, when we contact you, are our shield, our defense, our deliverer, our salvation, our hope. You are our healing, our defense, everything you are to us. And so we need faith. There isn't anything that we can receive from you unless we ask. In faith, believing. Ask and we shall receive. Seek and we'll find. Knock and it shall be opened unto us. Lord, so therefore I ask that you pour out the outward anointing of the Holy Spirit and anoint this service that souls may be saved that are out in the world, and that this church will be strengthened, and those that have fallen away a little, or, you know, their lot, they'll come back unto you and be able to make it into the kingdom of heaven before it's everlastingly too late. Lord, we ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, right now, I'd like to favor you with a song. And the name of the song that I'd like to do first is Where Man's Love Stops, God's Love Begins. Man's love stops is where God's begins. You know, people in the world, We must not put our trust in man, because it is God that is the one that treads down all of our enemies. And so we need to trust in the Lord, and trust above all, raise up the shield of faith. Above all, pray without ceasing. Pray with all your heart. Pray always, the Lord said, because that way you've always got the shield of faith up to quench all the fiery darts. It is the Lord that quenches the fiery darts. He is our shield, our buckler. Amen?
Amen.
What I'm coming from is the scriptures. Okay, we have some letters here. Where's the first one from, Jeannie?
Ghana, Africa.
Okay, what do they have to say?
Servant of God, greeting in the name of Jesus. I pray that this letter will find you blessed and prospering in the power of God. The Tony Alamo Christian Ministries World Newsletter is greatly changing lives in my nation, Ghana. The anointing on this paper is great. It has helped my spiritual life by elevating me to a new level of understanding the things of God. My friend gave me your newsletter. I also used the opportunity to extend it to other people, and to whosoever I gave the newsletter received Jesus as their personal Savior. Glory be to God. Please, I request you to send us more of literature so that it will help us in winning souls. I request you to allow me to come and visit your ministry, and I request a t-shirt because I have seen other people wearing some. I wear a 3X. May our Lord give you more than you already have. Above all, your health and the health of your children and your wife, from Mustafa in Ghana, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Make sure that this person gets a t-shirt and some more literature, Messiah books, everything. So where's the next letter from?
From Mankisim, Ghana, Africa.
Okay, let's hear this, what they have to say.
My dear respected Pastor Alamo, my greetings to you in the precious and impeccable name of our Lord and personal Savior, Jesus Christ. I have accepted God as my Savior on the 10th of July, 2006, after reading through your literature entitled The Messiah. Many Christians get spiritual knowledge from your literature. Today we have been called to be Christian missionaries in the Lord's work. My name is Enoch. I am 20 years of age, and also I'm young in Christ, too. I will work for God always in my life. I'm a born-again Christian and writing to lead a good Christian life. We always pray for you and your ministry in our daily prayers. Please, Pastor, we need your help in Christ by sending us holy Bibles, your preaching cassettes, t-shirts, literature, a Bible dictionary, and a concordance. We are asking that the Lord Jesus Christ may continue to anoint you to do this great work of God in this land, too. I am attending church at the Church of Christ. May God bless you all, your servant Enoch from Mankisim, Ghana, Africa.
Okay, well, praise the Lord. We get thousands of letters. I remember years ago when the Perry Como show used to be on, they said letters. We get letters, and we get, hundreds and hundreds of letters. We get thousands of them. And I've never seen such good mail in my life. I've been associated with a lot of superstars in my life, and the mail that we get is better than any that I've ever heard anybody else get. And I know for sure that it's because everything is the Lord, and people are hungry and thirsting for the Lord. All right, now, this is Difficulty Mountains. Everywhere we look today, there's mountains, troubles. Mountains are symbolic of troubles and also nations. So the Lord stated that if we have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, that's the smallest seed in the world, which means that if we have the faith or the shield of the size of a grain of a mustard seed, or a little prayer, small as a grain of mustard seed, so you don't have to huff and puff and yell and shout like some of the people you see on TV. But the Lord hears the smallest prayer. And when you pray the smallest prayers, they get answered. God hears every one of them. He hears the murmur of your heart. And so pray. Well, okay, Jeannie, are you ready to read this literature that the Lord gave me called Difficulty Mountains?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
After my late wife Sue and I had been married a short while, God gave me a vision of a mountain, a difficult mountain. In the vision, I looked tall, strong, and more muscular than I was at the time of the vision. At the time of the vision, I weighed around 155 to 160 pounds, but in the vision, I looked as though I weighed 190 to 210 pounds. I was walking up the mountain quickly and with ease, even though the mountain looked as though it were at least a 75 to 80 degree incline. The mountain was very steep. It was a beautiful, clear day. The sky was light blue, and there was not a cloud in it. As usual, I was wondering what all this meant. It was obvious that I was very strong in the vision. After I saw myself walking for a short time, the vision, like a motion picture camera, backed away from the mountain, and I could see my late wife, Susie, well behind me, walking up the mountain slowly. She looked fatigued. She was not moving her arms in a normal fashion. Her arms were hanging by her side. She looked very weak, yet she was determined to continue on up to the top of the mountain. It was hard to understand, as weak as she was, that she would continue on. It grieved me that I was not aware of her weak condition. In the vision, I turned around, walked down to where she was to help her up the mountain, put my right arm around her waist, held her left hand in my left hand, and began helping her up the mountain. I was wondering what was so important at the top of the mountain that we should be so driven to get there. The very minute I put my arm around her to help her get to the top of the mountain with me, the vision turned from color to black and white. This same shift from color to black and white also happened in the vision that God gave me, showing that Sue and I would be married, and that together we would do a great and mighty work with God. In both visions, we became silhouettes when the visions turned from color to black and white. In the difficult mountain vision, we were silhouettes, and the mountain was also a silhouette. The light blue sky became dark, and a very dark, windy, powerfully fierce, hellish storm came down the mountain against us, the most hellish storm that could ever be imagined, making it extraordinarily difficult to continue up the steep slope. The vision showed Susie and me continuing forcefully up the mountain against the hellish storm. When Sue and I went to Las Vegas to be married, we were married at the Red Rock Baptist Church. We're not Baptist. We believe in the Pentecostal baptism of the Holy Spirit. But Sue arranged for us to be married there anyway. It was beautiful and calm in Las Vegas, like the first part of the vision. And then, as we approached the church, a strong, hellish storm suddenly came upon us, and debris was flying all over the place. When we got into the church, the minister greeted us, married us, and told both of us that he had never, ever felt the Spirit of the Lord so strong when he had married anyone else as he did when he married us. Then he told us that he had never, ever felt the Spirit of the Lord so strong in his whole life. I was surprised that Hank Snow, the singer, was there. He was our best man. I had never met him before our wedding. Later in Las Vegas, we became best friends, but I never brought it up, and he never remembered that he was our...
Later in Nashville. All right, keep going. Okay.
We became
best friends in Nashville, Tennessee. That's the title. I'm glad we haven't printed this yet. You're getting it first on radio, praise the Lord, so we'll change that tomorrow.
Later in Nashville, we became best friends, but I never brought it up, and he never remembered that he was our best man at our wedding. After the wedding, we walked out of the church, and it was beautiful and calm again. The storm was over, and we very strongly felt the presence of the Lord. We were married 3 times. Now back to the vision. The fierce storm and winds kept trying to discourage us from continuing our journey up the mountain. I know now that the storm was and still is attempting to destroy the end-time ministry of the Lord. At the time, I was very young in the Lord, and I didn't know to come against the storm with the shield of faith, which is prayer. Now I know. This is why I have been able to endure the many hellish storms throughout the years of my ministry. It is, quote, through Christ, who is the word of God, which strengtheneth me, unquote, Philippians 4:13. Again, the shield of faith is prayer. Quote, above all, we must take the shield of faith, which means pray before everything else. In other words, we are to, quote, pray without ceasing, unquote, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Quote, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, unquote, 1 John 5:4, which again is our shield, which really is our prayer to God through Christ, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, quote, pray always, unquote, Luke 21:36. The Apostle Paul stated, quote, pray without ceasing, unquote, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Jesus, Paul, and I know if you want victory in this present evil world, you must pray. Faith, even the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, which is the same as a shield the size of a grain of mustard seed, or a small prayer, will still cause yonder mountain, or for that matter any mountain, to be cast into the sea, and it shall be done.
Right there on that spot where it says, read that line again, please.
Faith, even faith the size of a grain.
As small as the grain of mustard seed, right? Is that what it says?
Yes.
Which is the smallest seed in the world. And go ahead.
Which is the same as the shield of the size of a grain of mustard seed.
As small as the size of a grain of mustard seed. And what?
Or a small prayer.
Or a prayer small as a grain of mustard seed. Okay, then what?
Will still cause yonder mountain, or for that matter any mountain, to be cast into the sea, and it shall be done. Matthew 21:21. Back in the vision, we kept climbing. I've never stopped climbing to this very day, and I never will till I get there. The minute I put my arm around Susie, the vision turned from full color to black silhouettes of ourselves and the wind that was trying to stop us from climbing. The mountain was also black. Sometimes it was so black that I couldn't see us. Every so often, for a flash of a second, I could see our silhouettes. I would be down on one knee, still pushing upwards, and Sue was with me, still with my arm around her. Then it became so black that I couldn't see Sue or myself at all. But I knew we were still continuing our journey through this awful storm. At the time of this vision, I was a very young Christian. I asked Susie, who had been saved 25 years before I received Christ, if she knew what the vision meant. I also prayed to the Lord to find out what it meant. Sue didn't know what it meant, but the Lord told me great persecution, slanderous character assassination, brutal trials and tribulations were in our very near future, and all of these hellish things were in one way or another inspired by Rome, its one-world cult, government, and mouth, the media. The Lord is coming back to Earth again very soon, and He wants me to tell everyone on the planet these things. He was showing me that the going was going to be rough and tough. However, quote, he that endureth to the end, those who continue climbing the mountain and never stop to the end, shall be saved. Matthew 10:22. I was wondering when this would happen, when Jesus would come back. I'm very surprised that He hasn't come back yet. This vision was given to me 42 years ago. This update is October 2006. When would all these persecutions begin? I found out they began almost immediately. The government, the media, and the world's religions tried to make us look as though we were dangerous to the people in the world, when in reality we were bringing the most important message in the world to them, the only message that will tell them how to have God's life living in them and through them, the only message able to keep them out of the fiery pits of hell and the lake of fire, the only message that if they received it would get them into heaven for eternity. We must therefore conclude that the world church, government, and media are the work of the devil. Quote, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath. This is because the devil knows that he hath but a short time before God cast him into the lake of fire for all eternity. And when the dragon, the great red dragon, the devil, saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the true church of Christ, the new Israel, the new Jerusalem, the bride of Christ, symbolized in Revelation 12:1 as a woman having upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Revelation 12:12-13. Today we see this happening. Satan is working from Rome through the devil's cult, the one-world government, and media, fashioning the world as quickly as he can through regime changes to make the world more comfortable for Satan and his children to exist. They say the name of God and Jesus must go. His word must totally be eradicated, they say, and true Christians must be dubbed, quote, cults, unquote, and destroyed, just like at Waco, the same as the Romans destroyed the temporal lives of Christians 2,000 years ago. Back then, Rome fell. Its head was wounded to death, Revelation 13:3. Today, the great red dragon, the devil, has given his power to Rome, bringing it back to life again and making it a world power. And Rome is up to the same old anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Christian ways as it was in the old days. This is why God is getting ready to destroy it. In order for Satan's, quote, Rome, unquote, to rule the world, he knows that he must rule every country. He recruits the media to insult the leaders of sovereign countries, calling them devils, madmen, crazy, and dangerous, so that the governments, which are his pawns, can justify to the American public the need to send their poor, innocent, ignorant children over to annihilate an area in whatever country he wishes to take over, so that he can change its regime. This he does to satisfy his desire for a complete one-world government. Rome's world power is short-lived. It is Satan's Roman government, cult, and media that are causing all the difficulty mountains in the world. Rome's hunger to gain world power and dominion has fostered all the terrorist acts worldwide, including those which have taken place in the United States of America. Satan's plans are to destroy the existing leaders of countries and put Rome's hand-picked ambassadors in their places, changing their regime. To them, anything that is of God must be lied about and, if possible, destroyed. But God will do a quick work and destroy them, and soon, before Jesus' soon return. The devil is the accuser of the saints, but he is no longer able to come before the throne of God to accuse the saints of God both night and day. Again, as Revelation 12:12 says, he is filled with wrath because he knows that his time, the time before he shall be cast into the lake of fire, is short. He knows he's going to have to spend eternity burning up forever with his band of evil angels and all those who follow him, his church, his government, and his mouthpiece, the mass media. What a vision! What a mighty prophecy is this mountain with Sue and me on it with all the tribulation! What a powerful God that would reveal these things to me in advance to prepare my heart for all these things. It has consistently caused me to, quote, watch, unquote, as the Lord has commanded me to do, to diligently study God's word in depth, with vigilance, and to pray always, without ceasing. By my seeking him in earnest, he has given me the power to continue on to the end. Quote, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved, unquote, Mark 13:13. If fallen away Christians feel that they're going to be raptured out of tribulations, or if they believe they don't need to allow God's fullness to live in them and work through them, they're in for a big and dreadful surprise. Christ comes immediately after the tribulations, Matthew 24:29-31. I know we're going through the tribulations because God showed me that we are in the midst of the tribulations. God's word tells us he's going to shorten the time because of the elect, those who are doing a big work for him, those who are counted worthy to suffer great things as a witness to the world that we believe in Jesus, the word of God. James stated, quote, faith without works is dead, James 2:20. As we work for the Lord, we will be opposed. The vision I saw from God is true prophecy. The plagues that are being sent on earth today from God are only, quote, the beginning of sorrows, unquote, Matthew 24:8. No one but those of us who are allowing God to use us as his temples, wherein he lives, will be able to escape the wrath of God. God says, quote, though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. and though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them." Unquote. Amos 9:2-3. No one can stop God from doing what he said he's going to do. And there's no other way to escape but through Christ. Around 42 years ago, God showed me this vision of the difficult mountain. He showed me the difficult times that would be ahead for Sue and me in our ministry. When I read the Bible, I see that the entire world shall partake in the 14 major plagues from God. I see now that the people of the world are terrorized because of the violence, the terrorists, the diseases, the food contamination, and everything else. The one world government has control over your lives. You can see this in their attempt to extinguish the Bible, as well as in all the other things that you see or read in the news. You've got mountains surrounding you. You need the power of God in you to save you from the wrath of God, and later from the lake of fire. This is, quote, the day of the Lord, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, unquote. Joel 2:1-2. In today's world, we see great troubles. There are problems everywhere we look in every direction. The way I have been able to have victory down through the years, no matter what, is because I believe God. I've been given prophecies, and I've seen many visions, dreams, signs, and wonders which have come to pass. They, with the Word of God, have kept me steadfast through everything that Satan has thrown at me, and at the many members of my church, which really is the Church of the Living Christ, the Church of the Living God. Jesus said in Revelation 1:18, quote, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore," unquote. The Lord also tells us in his word that by having faith, the shield of faith, which is prayer, quote, "every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked, false doctrine shall be made straight by the word of God, and the rough places plain," unquote, Isaiah 40:4. This means that by faith, the shield, prayer, every trouble is not only cast into the sea, it is leveled. The word, quote, mountain, unquote, not only means problems, but it is also symbolic of nations. Many nations who feel they are powerful because of improved military economics and weapons of war shall be brought low, leveled by God's mighty power. There are not enough atomic or any other kind of bombs that can do any harm to God Almighty or his people. We currently enjoy all the commonwealth God has provided us through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. In confirmation to the vision the Lord gave me of the mountain, the difficult mountain, it is written, quote, "There shall be in the last days a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book of life," unquote. Daniel 12:1. Jesus prophesied of these last days, quote, "For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days," unquote. Mark 13:19-20. Folks, we're living in the most difficult time ever. That's why there are so many suicides, so many people on drugs, and so many alcoholics. That's also why there is so much distress in the world, so many perplexities of nations, Luke 21:23-26. And so many irrational acts by national and international leaders, Zechariah 12:4. Prepare your heart for sorrows. If you will, you will never be disappointed, and you will overcome. Again, don't think about having a good time. In this world, Christians are to be zealously busy doing not our works, but the work of God. It is in the kingdom of heaven that we will have rest and exceedingly good times forever. If ever there was a need to have God's power, it is today, because of today's difficulties, because of today's mountains. Esau sold his soul for a bowl of beans. Genesis 25:30-34. Are you going to sell your soul for something of this world that has no eternal value? Many people calling themselves Christians think that the word of God is too harsh, but it's not too harsh. If it seems harsh to you, what does it matter? There's no other way to enter heaven except by receiving it. The tribulations are harsh, and you're not going to get out of them. That is, if you live. We all need to have God in us, and we need to serve Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, so that we'll be able to go through the tribulations like a hot knife going through butter. Some people reading this literature and believing it to be true, quote, shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that do not believe the Bible shall come unto the resurrection of damnation, unquote. John 5:29. The kingdom of heaven has a strong government which is governed by Almighty God Himself. If people expect to enter into eternity and expect to enter the kingdom of God, they must now begin obeying the laws of the government of the kingdom of God. To begin obeying the Lord, you must receive salvation for yourself so that your family may also have a chance to possess eternal life by receiving salvation through the soul-cleansing blood that Jesus shed on the cross at Calvary. Then, by the Holy Spirit entering your spirit, your dead spirit can be resurrected to immortality, eternal life. You can begin your salvation, your eternal life now with the Lord, by saying this prayer.
And the prayer goes, I say this to the Lord. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know that you've answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and worship the Lord. God, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for shedding your precious blood on the cross at Calvary to wash away all my sins. And thank you, Lord, for entering into my spirit with your spirit, causing my spirit to be raised from the dead. My spirit that was dead in sins and trespasses is now cleansed. And because of your Holy Spirit entering into me, now I'm raised from the dead. And I'm now sitting in heavenly places with you by the Spirit. I know, and I'm saved, and I thank you, Father, for saving me. I thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. And I know now, Father, that your word says that if the same Spirit that dwelled in Jesus, that raised him from the dead, dwells in my body, that I too shall be raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit on the last day. Praise the Lord. So right now we are going to ask for somebody to come forward and bring a testimony. Who would like to bring a testimony on the radio worldwide? Don't worry, don't get nervous. You're only going to be talking to about 300-400 million people. All right? Who? Come on. Quickly now.
Praise the Lord. My name is Leah Sweat, and I'm thankful to be saved, and Jesus Christ washed me in His precious blood over 16 years ago. I was living in Reno, Nevada, and my life was full of darkness and misery. I was an alcoholic and a drug addict, and I was going nowhere in my life, and I was miserable, and I was hopeless. But I felt that God had a calling in my life, and I didn't know how to find God. I didn't see anybody who was serving the Lord or keeping His commandments anywhere around me. And I cried out to the Lord one night, and He had mercy upon my soul. I asked him, I vowed to him, if he would show me a place to serve him, I would lay down my life and I would serve him for the rest of my life. And I came across a piece of gospel literature from this ministry, the Tony Alamo Christian Ministries. And when I read that piece of literature, the Spirit of God came into me, and I flipped to the back of the literature and I read that you could have life, you could be cleansed from your sins, that Jesus Christ could come and live inside of you. And I read that prayer and I said that prayer with all my heart, and I was given an invitation to come and serve the Lord here, and I've been here ever since. And Jesus Christ gloriously saved me. He filled me with the power of His Holy Spirit. He baptized me with His Spirit, and I'm so thankful to be here, and I'm thankful to be a part of God's work in this last time, to have a purpose and a meaning in my life and get the gospel out and win as many souls, help our pastor win as many souls for the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days. Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, now here's my wife, Sharon, and she's going to give a testimony. She's also the same nationality as I am, a Romanian Jew. Okay, and she's been bat mitzvahed?
Yes.
Okay, that means that, what does that mean in the Hebrew? The Bible says that we choose to be preaching the gospel to the Gentiles in the end days. And so that was a good testimony, Leo, incidentally, praise the Lord. And that we'd be preaching to the Gentiles in the last, it's the whole world, really. Okay? There'd be 144,000 of us. And here we are. Okay, go ahead.
Praise the Lord. My name is Sharon, and I was raised in a somewhat Orthodox Jewish home in California, and my father was born in Jerusalem, and he was raised strictly Orthodox. And I was brought up going to Hebrew school and going to synagogue, but also I was part of the world because I went, I was around everyone else of every other religion, and I didn't see the point in Judaism. I didn't get it, and I would do some of the rituals I was involved in, but I didn't know why I was doing them. I didn't even understand the prayers I said in Hebrew, and around the age of 10, I remember really wondering what was this thing. They celebrated Christmas. What was it? What was there to Jesus? And I remember going to my mother and saying, what is this thing that everyone has about someone named Jesus? And she said, well, he was a good man. And, 100 years after he died, they made a religion out of him. And that didn't sit well with me. And I remember going to my room, and I looked up at the sky. And in my room, I said, God, if there's more to this Jesus than what I'm being told, give me a sign. Turn the light on and off in this room. And sure enough, the light in the ceiling turned on and turned back off again. And I knew there was more than I knew at that point. And later on in my life, God started showing me that this world was coming to a close. I had this feeling of doom in my soul. I didn't know about heaven or hell. I did not believe in the devil. All I knew was I felt like I was really lost, and the whole world was really coming to a close, and I was very desperate for the truth. And so I started seeking the Lord instead of just superficial activities and things that didn't matter anymore at all to me. I just wanted to know God. And one night I cried out to God because somebody from this ministry witnessed to me at one point and said, you know, Jews, the Bible states, require a sign. So you ask God to show you a sign if he really is the Messiah, if Jesus really is the Son of God, and God will show you. So I cried out from my heart and soul, God, is Jesus the Messiah? Is he the Son of God? And God gave me a supernatural sign. This incredible, forceful wind blew through the room where I was, and right through me, took the breath right out of me and made me know without any doubt that Jesus really was the Messiah. And after that point, I was told again through people that were raised in this ministry that if I would repent of my sins, ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart and wash me in his blood, that he would actually fill my heart and soul, that he would make me a new creature and give me power over sin, and that I could live my whole life with a peace that the world cannot offer. And then at the end of this life, instead of being doomed to hell, I would have eternity in heaven. And I thank God that I found that truth. When I said the sinner's prayer, I repented of my sins. God saved my soul. Then I sought the Lord, and I found several churches that taught a little bit here, a little bit there, and then I saw, wow, there's something wrong here. I faced false doctrine. And then I went to another place, and then I heard things, and I knew they weren't lining up with the Bible. And then I came to this ministry, and I stayed here because I was hearing the truth. I was hearing everything based upon Scripture and nothing more, nothing less. And that's where my soul knew I was at rest, and I grew, and the Lord's given me a husband beyond my imagination. I didn't know that I could be married to such a wisdom-filled spiritual man that would guide my soul right into heaven. And I'm so thankful for all the Lord's given me, for the blessings beyond belief, for the peace and joy for eternal life. And I thank God for saving my soul.
Now, praise the Lord. That was very good, Sharon. That's really good. I love to hear her give her testimony. All right, so, you know, if in the book of Genesis it tells that God was exceedingly angry, and because the world was so full of sin, and it really mentions violence, and it grieved him at his heart that it was so violent, the world, and so sinful, that he decided to kill everybody on the face of the earth. So he recruited Noah, who was the only just person on the face of the earth, and his family, to build an ark. And you know the rest of the story, most of you. And so God annihilated everybody in the world with the exception of 8 souls. And then, we see that he wiped out the whole world because everything was so violent then. Try to compare back then with today. Now today it's so much more violent. Like the Bible said, it's the worst time that ever was on the face of this earth. And if it grieved God at his heart in those days so much that he annihilated the whole world with water, soft petals of water, little drops of water, then what do you think he's going to do to the people of this world? You really don't have to think about it because the Bible tells us what he's going to do. It's millions of times more violent today because of television, the internet, and all the different things that you see going on, the violence that you see on earth today. Terrorists with atomic bombs and threatening to blow us up. People blowing up the World Trade Center and annihilating Christians. And God, it grieves him that he's even given man a second chance. But what the Lord says he's going to do here in these last days is he's going to burn everything up. He states that even the elements will burn. That means the dirt. He's going to burn up heaven and earth and make a new heaven and a new earth. The reason he's burning up heaven, you wonder, why would he burn up heaven? Because Satan was there. And one-third of the people in heaven, of the angels in heaven, Satan recruited Lucifer. And then when he was cast out, and all of them were cast out, and these are the demons that we see here on earth today, and they're doing everything they can to corrupt the earth and to bring more and more violence every day. There's no one, but, you know, the people in the world are afraid to go out of their houses today for fear that they're going to maybe be the victims of a drive-by shooting. Or they're afraid to let their kids go to school because they're being taught all the filthy doctrine that comes out of Rome and the twisted things that come out of Rome. The Bible says that Rome is the mother of every abomination on the face of this earth. Rome is The Bible calls Rome the great whore, the church there. That is the church that God calls the whore. And it's branched out all over the world and is the cause of every bit of violence that you see on the face of this earth. Now, if the World Trade Center was blown up or crashed into, we know that Rome did it because God said so. And we're saved by believing every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God, Jesus said. Amen?
Yes.
Now, he said that whore, the church that is in Rome, he calls it the wealthiest church, dressed in scarlet and purple and drinking abominations out of a golden goblet. Yeah, that if she's causing every abomination on earth, then she's the one that is causing the Palestinians to raise up against the Jews, because it doesn't make any difference. God said he's going to come to earth as a man many, many years ago. And it happened. And then he said many years ago that when he gets here, that they would crucify him. As you can see all this in the book of Isaiah. It said it pierced his hands and feet. The Bible, the prophecies, I've written a book called The Messiah, and it talks about him having nail-pierced hands and feet and pierced in the side and sold for 30 pieces of silver. One scripture after the other, the book of Daniel, tells the exact day that he would come to the earth and the exact day that he died, the manner that he would die. He'd be crucified. So, actually, it had to be Rome that would kill the Lord, because that was their manner of execution, was crucifixion. The Jews, they didn't kill him. They said, let his blood be upon us and our seed. But their method of execution was to stone people to death. Right? And so everything fell in place. Jesus fulfilled all the 333 prophecies that were prophesied of his first advent into the world by all the prophets. And so we also see that it was prophesied of that the Lord, the earth would be so violent and so evil that God wants to purge it now. Water doesn't have the purging power of flames, fire. And so he's going to burn everything up. Everything on the face of this earth. And only those that are saved, only those that have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior will be saved. And he states that the salvation will be the same, like unto the days of Egypt, for God killed the firstborn of every Egyptian because he didn't recognize the blood of Jesus by putting the blood on the mantle and on the doorpost. But the ones that acknowledge Jesus will be saved. And he says, believe on every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God. That means believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God, the whole word of God, and thou shalt be saved, because Jesus, the Bible says, is the word of God. So when it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the word of God, that whosoever believes on him, the whole word of God, shall be saved. So do you believe on the whole word of God? Do you believe the story of David, Solomon, Moses, to believe that the things that they did were all right because God calls them the greatest in the hall of faith in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. They kept the word of God, except David in one point. God gave him many wives. God gave them to him, it says in the Bible. But what he did, what David did, was committed adultery with some man's one wife, Uriah. Just one person. And all he had was one wife, and David had many wives. And it was of the Lord, because the Lord said he gave them to him. And so, if anyone wants to make, like I hear Jerry Falwell say, you know, we have to stop this thing of having many wives and homosexuality. How do you compare? Homosexuality is totally condemned by God. But there's no condemnation at all in the Bible, the Old or New Testament, that if God has given a person many wives. Well, I preach that, and then everybody, all of a sudden, I have written a piece of literature on that, and a lot of people think, man, I must have a lot of wives or something like that. And even if I did, which I don't, I'm not married except to one person here, if I did, it still wouldn't be sin in the eyes of God. It never says in the Bible, all people having more than one wife shall spend eternity in the lake of fire. All polygamists shall spend eternity in the lake of fire. That isn't true. God has given David and people with large ministries extra helpers. And it also tells in the dictionaries that a wife is an innkeeper. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're at all that you're having sex with them. It's a woman that runs an inn or a landlady. Look at the Webster's Dictionary and see what wife means. The problem with the people in the United States is they don't have the command of the English language, so to speak. Okay? But, you know, if you're going to condemn somebody, you better read the Bible first and see what, if God condemns it, then condemn it. Now, God condemns homosexuality. He condemns adultery. He condemns fornication. The worst thing that you or I could ever do is say that God condemns something that he doesn't condemn. Or say that God honors something that he doesn't honor. In other words, false prophecy. To tell people that you don't believe. If you don't believe something in the Bible says, believe every word that comes from the mouth of the living God. Every word. So if you want to extract, if you want to take the condemnation of homosexuals out, that means you don't believe that homosexuals are condemned. If you want to take out, it's all right to commit adultery, we should forgive adulterers and so on. The Bible doesn't say that. The Lord says that it's all right to divorce a woman if she committed adultery on you. That's divorce. All right, so I see that my time is up. Stealing is a vice, is a sin. It's not a vice, it's not only a vice, but worse than that, it's a sin. And the Bible says, if you don't love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, in other words, the whole Word of God, that's the number one sin to break. But anyways, Sharon, come on and let's tell everyone out in Radioland how they can receive a copy of program number 258. You can order a CD or a tape copy of it. And it's absolutely free. God gave me salvation free of charge. And therefore, I don't charge anything for the gospel. And also, the shipping and handling is free of charge. Or even if you don't have enough money for a Bible, I'll send you one. Actually, it'll be the Lord sending you the Bible through me. Because if he doesn't give me the money to do it, then I don't do it. But if I have the money to do it, you can have this shirt off my back. Okay? Okay, Sharon, tell them how to receive a copy of program number 258.
Go to AlamoMinistries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
So the Word of God is Jesus. And so that's all we need is the Word of God. The Bible says, they're saying reverential fear. No, it means fear. The Bible says that these people, Moses says that he feared God so much that the skin on his bones quaked. Okay, that's fear. And that's wisdom. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if the Word of God is all we need, here's a song that I sang. Let him, the Word of God, Lord Jesus, be all that you need.
Let it be all you need. Life is a struggle and hurt gets you down. He won't be in your way, just around. If you're near,